Vishnu Sahasranama, name 155. Yesterday, in a class after the morning class here, by Skype, I spoke on Vamana avatar. So this name 155 is also a name of Vamana. The name is Prangshu. So Vamana means very short, right? And Prangshu is another name for Vamana, which means very tall. So Vamana is very short, but he becomes very tall. He's taller than any tall person in the world. Okay, general knowledge quiz here. What's the height of the tallest person in the world? Probably a man. No one knows. You've wasted 75% of your life. About 8 feet. 9 feet. 9 foot something. In the Guinness Book of Records. They have a picture. Okay, they didn't see the Kshatriyas of Dwarapa Yuga, like Bhima, who is 13 foot and taller, because in Kali Yuga, height decreases. So people gradually become like dwarves. So a tall person, we don't usually see people of 8 feet. It's unusual. In basketball players, some of them are like that, 8 feet. You have to be tall. 7 feet. That's like the minimum. Is it 7 feet to be a basketball player? Over six, certainly, yeah. Okay, let's convert. Now you see in America we have all this feet and miles, which I grew up with, but I'm now used to kilometers and meters and all this kind of thing, having lived in metricized India for so many years. Okay, so 2 meters. What's 2 meters? That's about 6 foot, more than 6.5 feet. That's a pretty tall person, right? Can you imagine someone 20 meters tall? Ooh, couldn't even get in the door. Yeah, more than 60 feet. Kumbhakarna. Yeah, well, they were all pretty big in those days. Okay, 200 feet tall. How about 200 miles tall? That gets beyond our imagination.
Can't breathe up there.
No, that's what I hear. All right, that's what they call space. Once you get out that high, it's called space, right? That's what they call space. Okay, well, we're talking about Vamana Dev, who is 200. He expanded himself from being a little boy, maybe about less than 2 feet tall, to gradually 20 feet, 200 feet, 2 miles, 20 miles, 200 miles, 2,000 miles, and going up and up. 2,000 is just the beginning. Where did his foot fit on the earth if his body was big enough to cover the whole universe? It's difficult to imagine, isn't it? Difficult to imagine. And if his foot must, presuming that his foot expanded, you would have thought he would have covered Dali Maharaj and everyone else there and just crushed them. Well, we don't find that he's called Bigfoot. Bigfoot's the name of the some kind of mythical, maybe, man who hangs out in New Jersey area, somewhere around. They get them around here? In Tyro? Most sightings are there in Texas. There are no sightings. There may or may not be. It's a controversial point. Bigfoot is a kind of man who's got a big foot. And ape man, something like that. But there are sightings in the Himalayas also of Yetis. Where are the pictures?
Not seen any pictures.
The Yeti and what else? There's in Ireland there are leprechauns. There used to be, but you don't see them much now. No one ever used to see them ever, but they used to. Abominable snowman means the Yeti. It's the Tibetan word is Yeti. Okay. Well, anyway, Vamandev was bigger foot than that. Very big foot. Unimaginably big. He would have had a good darshan of his lotus feet when he got... would have easily been to the dust in his lotus feet. Sorry? Foot bathing ceremony. Well, that's what Lord Brahma did when he saw Vamana's foot go up past his planet. He poured from his kamandalu, thought that was a good chance, and poured his kamandalu over Vamana's foot, and that became the Ganga. Along with the water. Then Vamana, he put his toe through the covering the universe, and the water from the causal ocean leaked through. Means it must have leaked through all the... His foot must have gone through all the coverings, which are huge. Because each layer is 10 times bigger than the other. And you know the chessboard example? 1 grain, 2 grains, 4 grains, 16 grains, 256 grains, and then I don't, you know, can't calculate in my mind right now, 256 times 256. But each layer is 10 times bigger than the other. So it went right through, and then the Ganga came through, and that mixed with the water from Brahma's Kamandalu. And there's one other source of the Ganga. Well, the Ganga herself in the spiritual world. So, he's very tall. And he showed to Bali Maharaj that he could have just taken it away anyway without doing all this cheating business. That Bali, for all his power, is completely insignificant before Vamana, which is one of the upcoming names. Well, there are several names. Urjita means very powerful. So he showed himself to be very powerful. But he's more interested in loving dealings than simply being powerful with someone. It's definitely more pleasing if you can have some kind of exchange with someone, and then what Stephen Covey calls that win-win, right? And then you both get what you need rather than just crushing them. Of course, some people take pleasure in crushing others, but such people are demons. And Vamandev, Vishnu, he's a very nice person, even though the demons didn't think he was very nice, but that's why they're demons, because they don't think he's nice. So what do you expect from them? He's very tall. How tall can you be? Think of the tallest man. Multiply that a few million times, and you get Prangshu, Vamanadev. Next name. 156. Amoghaha. This name has already come in Vishnu Sahasranama. It means one whose acts are never purposeless. It means one whose acts are purposeful. But it literally is translated as one who's... You might say, well, why not just say one whose acts are purposeful? But because that's the way the name is. A means a negation, and mogaha means futile. So his acts are never purposeless. They are purposeful. He has his various lila avatars, such as Vamana, Varaha, Matsya, Kapila. So lila means activity undertaken for pleasure. But the Supreme Lord, it's not just pleasure. He does, when he comes to this world, it's not only to play. That's Krishna in Vrindavan. But Vishnu is the maintainer. So while he's enjoying himself, he's doing something. Or rather, he's doing something and he's enjoying at the same time. He has a purpose for coming. But he executes his activities in a very pleasing way. It's pleasing to himself and to the devotees. So he comes in this form as Vamanadev. Another point is, he has a purpose in everything that he does, and it's not some trivial purpose. It's a great purpose. I mean, if Vishnu is going to come, it's not going to be to do some minor activity. It has universal consequences. We use that word universal to pertain to the human situation generally. But the real, actually, universal means to pertain to the whole universe. So Vamanadev, he really had a universal purpose, taking the whole universe. Great purpose. So he restored the order of the universe. Vamanadev restored the order of the universe by putting the demigods in control and depriving the demons of their booty, namely the heavenly planets and everything therein. And he also, although depriving Bali, but he gave Bali something better, because after all he had taken over the heavenly planet by force as a kshatriya, which is allowed for a kshatriya to do that. So he recompensed Bali with Sutala, which is better than Indraloka. And especially Bali, he got Vamana. He got the Supreme Lord himself. And also, there are many, many purposes. If you start to think about it, there are many purposes what that Vamana fulfilled. He showed himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He showed his intelligence to be more than that of Bali and more than that of Shukra. He demonstrated his mercy and love for his devotees, for Indra, by restoring his position. Actually, that was according to the prayer of Aditi. He appeared at the request of Aditi, the mother of Indra. And he also showed his love to his devotee, Bali. More mercy to Bali. He showed the futility of material conquering. That name has just come up, Vijaya, Jeta. Those two names, victory, victorious, two names of Vishnu. But any kind of conquering in this world is futile, mogha. Because whatever you get, you can't keep. You conquer over a planet, conquer over a country, you can't keep it. Even if your descendants keep it for some time, it will go out of your dynasty and you have to die. So many, many purposes. You could say that the Lord's appearance, just like in the Atma Rama verse, the number of meanings can be expanded unlimitedly according to the number of Atmas. Especially those who are liberated. So by his appearance, because he can reciprocate with every living being present had his darshan. So there's a purpose for the giving mercy to every single one present.
So his acts are never purposeless. He always has a very great purpose. Name 157. Shuchihi. Which means pure. So this is similar to names that have come previously, such as Anaga, sinless, and Pavitra, which also means pure. Or it means clean. Some of the commentators have given the name that he purifies those who approach him. That I already discussed under the name Pavitra. One of the commentators has given the meaning spotlessly clean. So even when he's dragged in the mud by calves, Krishna and Balaram would, as babies, would catch the tails of the calves and be dragged in the mud. But they're always clean. Or rather, they may think that having the dust of Vrindavan upon our bodies makes us more pure, not less pure. When Krishna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there must have been perspiration, even though it was in December by our calculation. Which month would that be? That was early December. Which month would that be? In the that's in the Sanskrit. I don't know the Bengali months anyway. So, but still in the daytime, the sun generally comes up, but that would be quite likely covered by a cloud, or a lot of dust would come up from the hooves and the wheels. And then there'd be blood, and this, and that would be carried by the dust. So Krishna's transcendental form, there must have been so much dust on it. And even though it's the winter, still the sun is out generally, sometimes not. Maybe 5,000 years ago, the weather was somewhat different. But he must have been sweating. Krishna also sweats. So his form must have been covered by dust and... that's described in Bhagavatam. Indeed, that's described. But that form, even though covered by dust, always remains pure and spotlessly clean. Just as Krishna, he cannot be beautified by ornaments because he is the beauty of the ornaments. So he cannot be contaminated by anything of this world. His purity never diminishes. When in relation to Vamana avatar, because he's under discussion in this verse, even though it might appear that the Supreme Lord coming into this world becomes part of it. Or it might appear that he became impure by misleading Bali Maharaj, and cheating him and mistreating him by arresting him and tying him up. But he's always pure, which means that his actions are always beneficial. Because he's pure, even if he apparently mistreats someone, that mistreatment is for the benefit of that person. There's no question of anyone coming in contact with him and being treated with an attitude of envy or malice. Or even sometimes people want to try and help others, but because they're incapable, their help turns out to be more of a hindrance, more of an obstacle to them. But with Krishna, we can actually say, at the end of fairy tales, they say, and they all lived happily ever after. But it's only true with Krishna. With material fairy tales, you tell the story, Goldilocks or something like that, and you all lived happily ever after. If you just want to put a little realistic twist to that, you can say, and they grew old and had diseases and died, and then he got born again. Throw in a little Bhagavad Gita there. It's just fairy tale, myth. These rascals, they call the Puranas and the Shastras mythology, because they are living in a dream world. It's fact, what is there. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, this is pointed out in Shastra. Birth, death, old age and disease. Why call it mythology? It's a fact that no one in this material world can avoid this. But they want to live in a dream world that we are improving everything by science. Even most people in the public don't believe that anymore. And still they're going on with their so-called improvements. So, Vishnu. Vande Vishnum Bhavabhaya Haram. He takes away the fear of this material world, which is characterized by birth, which means birth, death, old age and disease. It's quoting there, Apapa Vidham, Shuddham Apapa Vidham. That's from the Isha Upanishad. Yeah, with his purity, that means there's no blemish whatsoever. Just, you may find someone, they're good in so many ways, but some fault. Someone may be very intelligent in some ways, but stupid in other ways. We often see that. In fact, the whole material world, everyone who is intelligent, you can say they're intelligent, but they're also stupid. How is that possible? Well, it's just like someone may be a very intelligent mathematician or chess player, but he's stupid because he doesn't see the real purpose of life. It must take many intelligent people to make cartoons for the TV, but it's stupid. The whole endeavor is stupid. So, or someone may be very beautiful, but stupid. That's quite common. Or intelligent but ugly, a very strong body, but they got cancer. So like this. But in Bhagavan, there is no discrepancy. Someone may have a very beautiful body, but then they have some wart on their face or something like that, or sticky out teeth. In America, you go to the dentist and pay a few $100 and maybe a few $1,000. And get them put in place. But with Krishna, there's nothing, no blemish. So in this way, he's also pure. So devotees should also be pure. That doesn't mean we all have to go to the dentist and get our teeth put in place. But in our actions, our activities, if we simply act to please Krishna, that is pure. That's all. And anything we do outside of the parameter of wanting to please Krishna, or to the even if we're trying to do devotional service where we have some personal motive or personal attachment, that much you have personal motive and personal attachment, that is impure. So this should always be understood. Okay, any question about this? Yes? Oh, I had the same question yesterday. It may come twice. Well, various reasons names may come twice, three times, four times, one name comes five times. It may be out of the ecstasy of Bhishma Dev. He remembers the quality that is described by that name again and again. Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnava commentator, he relates the names that are contiguous or in the same shloka or close to each other. He relates them together. He sees that he interprets them so that one name is related to the name next to it. Just like these names, Prangshu, Amogha, Shuchi, these have been described in relation to Vamanadeva. So the name may be understood in different contexts with different meanings according to the other names that are close to it. That's another reason. Yes, please.
What was the name that they gave to Bhishma Dev called Krishna in the battlefield with the blood and the dust and the horse's hoofs and everything? Remembering all that?
Oh, well, there are several names. One name, Bhishma, or that's given there, Ratangapani is one name that he said means holding the part of the holding the wheel in his hand. We could look it up, but I don't have here. You remember?
Yeah.
Any such thing? Mm-hmm. Look it up and tell us tomorrow.
All right. I'm going to anyway, so I'll write it down.
The name Krishna doesn't... it does, yeah. Yeah. It's there in Vishnu Sahasranam. But other names, Krishna is there, but some other names like Gopinath you may not find. These are names of not, then most of them are not directly Vrindavan names. Krishna is quite a, of course Vrindavan names are used outside Vrindavan. Outside Vrindavan, we'll find in Dwarika Leela, Krishna is also dressed as, maybe not as Gopal, but Damodara. You'll find that also. Of course, the names may have different meanings also, outside Vrindavan. Yeah.
I was thinking about Ali Maharaj's spiritual master at the time when Vamanadeva appeared and what his reaction was. And I was curious to know if, well, it's not possible. I mean, he was acting under the direct order of Krishna. So I was wondering if
was it a guru aparad to of Bali to reject his guru? Well, it was an aparad in as much as the guru suddenly felt offended. And some people could interpret that he got tied up and everything and he lost his whole kingdom because he offended Shukra. But afterward, then Vamandev Ashukra, his guru, Shukra, that actually you've blamed your disciple, but what was his fault? And Shukra replied, he agreed that actually when your name is chanted, when there may be discrepancies, but when your name is chanted, everything becomes perfect. So he agreed, actually, that he was wrong. Shukracharya, of course, he's the guru of the demons, and he's always plotting against the demigods, that's what he does. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna identifies himself a vibhuti, or one of the opulences of the, in the 10th chapter, as Shukracharya, Ushana Kavihi. Among the kavis, among the learned people, he says, I am Ushana, which is a name for Shukracharya. So these are great persons. You know, we shouldn't underestimate. We shouldn't. Yeah, we should be careful. Shukra Durvasa Muni. Prabhupada called one disciple Durvasa Muni. He said we should also ask for his blessing. He's a great person. We should also ask his blessings. He also had some pastimes with Krishna in Vrindavan. So they he gave the benediction to Kunti. The Pandavas wouldn't have been born, at least in the as the sons of gods, if it wasn't for Durvasa. So these are all great persons. In Bhagavatam says, Shri Hiranyakashipu Uruvacha. Shri is to offer some respect. Powerful person.
Does that apply to all demons?
Does that apply to all demons? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to offer respect to all living beings. How we offer them respect, it may be at least with the attitude that understanding that intrinsically everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. We don't offer respect to everyone in the same way. So that's one attitude. On the other hand, we condemn the demons for being demons. We don't like Mayavadis. We respect them as parts and parcels of Krishna, but we don't like Mayavadis, people who are envious of Krishna. Yeah. My friend is your friend, and my enemy is you. Now, your enemy, if they're inimical to Krishna, yeah, so your enemy is my, Krishna's enemy is our enemy. That's the point. So Krishna, he also doesn't like Mayavad. He's insulted. Yeah, we are ultimately our own worst enemy, but as we have taken shelter of Krishna, so anyone who's against Krishna, we're against them. Yeah. Anything else, ladies' side? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Kalachandra Ki Jai, Jagannath Subhadra Baladev Ki Jai, Hare Krishna.